January 20, 2022, it's Swap for Pedro Show. Show. Happy Thursday. started off with the underground song of the Underground Railroad from John Coltrane, and then Boy Yakira, It Doesn't Help. And because of my co-conspirator with the Island Proj, which is like 12 years old now, I met him once and he came to one of my gigs. Anyway, the Island, which has got a release coming out on this label out of Harlem, Netherlands, and I got the two guys that are responsible for such a label and such a situation, and a very honored to have you aboard, Yannick and Marion. Welcome.
Yes, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah. absolutely. And so these bands that I'm going to be playing aren't you guys, but the dudes on your label, right? They're the bands on your label. So you're going to have to enlighten me to their stuff and things like that. But I want to go back further before the label. Like, how'd you guys get into music? Who wants to go first, Yannick or Marion?
I'll let you, Nico, first.
Yannick, well,
please bring your earliest musical recollection.
I think it all started with, of course, listening to music, which I've been doing from before I can remember. But then I started playing piano because I had to. Like, my mom thought I should play an instrument. And I guess that what you then do, didn't really like it.
Yeah,
but then
let me
later,
ask you about the experience. Was it because of the teacher?
It was also because of the music. Because it was just pop classical stuff, and I kind of hated that, basic tracks. But later on, I really found more stuff in classical music that I really liked, like drones and experimental stuff and modern classical. So, my teacher didn't have all of that, and of course, without the internet, you couldn't really look it up yourself.
No, you would have to find somebody who was playing something like that. Now, how old were you at that time?
I think I started when I was maybe 6 or 7 or something.
Wow, you were already looking for adventurous music. That's great. What about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No, we didn't really have any of that at school.
Okay, that's why I asked. That happened here, too. It all depends on the situation. What was the first record you bought with your own money, Yannick?
It was actually, do you know the Smurfs, the cartoon?
The blue guys.
Yeah. It was a CD with music from that cartoon made by some Dutch television host. It was horrible. It was set to, like, 90s rave music.
So not Hammer of a Thing.
Well, I asked that kind of question because you don't have a lot of money when you're a kid, so I'm curious what you... What was the first gig you saw?
Ooh, That is going to be really hard to, because it was probably something classical, but the actual rock gig was probably some punk band in the local venue that I forgot what it was, but it was just like a punk thing that went crazy.
Okay. Remember, it's a Walk for Pedro show. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers. So just be calm about that. Now, the piano, did you get into like probably junior high or high school stuff, you after school, in the afternoon, you do the garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band. Did you do that stuff with the piano?
No, I actually didn't use the piano for writing at all. The whole band thing came when I started playing guitar because friends of mine also play guitar. And then I very soon started playing bass because, well, all my friends already played guitar and we needed someone to play bass.
I'm kind of a prejudice that way. Tell me, what was the first bass guitar that you got?
I actually got a quite good one right from the start, like a Mexican Fender Jazz bass.
Ah, okay. M-I-M.
So it was not, sorry?
M-I-M, they say here, but it's actually Hecho in Mexico, right? Made in Mexico.
Okay.
But I had one of those. Really good player, really good.
Yeah.
You can shit hoard. So if you ain't using it, I give it, put it back out in the pool so other people can play it. So, but what about amplifier?
Back then it was a brand called Marlin, like the fish with the pointy nose.
Yeah, they don't taste good, but they're big fighters.
Yeah, but it was that brand. I'd never seen any amp like it. I still have it, and it actually sounded kind of good for what it was. It was just like 50 euros or something, and it did its job.
Small?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the drummer drowns you out, the big guitar players drown you out. Yeah, that's a problem. But maybe a good practice amp, and I'm glad you hung on to it. Do you remember the first gig you did on bass?
Yeah, it was in a student's house where I was living, and there was a party, and we used that as an excuse to do a show.
Okay. And how'd it go? What was the name of the group?
We were called Sparkle Motion back then.
That's a good name.
From the movie Donnie Darko, there was like a girl band in there, like a dance troupe, and they were called Sparkle Motion. The band lasted for a little bit. But
what about that gig? Would you call that gig a success?
Yeah, it was okay, but it was more for the fun of it.
Yeah, of course. But I'm just, come on, I've done a lot of gigs. People threw shit and it was disasters and stuff. So I ask about that stuff. Now, were you scared?
No, not really.
I still get scared. See, that's why I ask this kind of shit.
Yeah, like I think I don't really have the stage fright, but I'm more a bit frightened that stuff just goes wrong. But that's because later on I started playing with a lot of synthesizers and all that stuff, so there was always cables not really working.
Equipment problems.
Yeah, that was the main issue.
My main issue is pilot error. You can't blame the airplane, right? It's a pilot error.
Yeah. Okay. Just like playing the wrong notes.
Yeah. Okay. So, that shit happens, right? But then when hardware lets you down, like a bad cord or a bad patch or something, I just did a gig last week where some guy came up, there was a dude on stage pissing. So this guy comes up to beat his ass, and he steps all over my stuff and unplugs me. So I'm out of the race, right?
That sounds wild.
Yeah, it still happens, right? 40 years of doing this, 50 years, and it's still this kind of shit happens. Yeah. Okay.
Liquid chill stage is not a good idea, though.
Yeah, and I didn't know because I was paying attention to the band leader. The sax man told me that. He said it smelled like piss up there. So anyway, Marin, your turn. Please bring your, because I got you up. I got up to date with Yannick from his first gig and stuff. Let's bring you to the same place. So please bring your earliest musical recollection.
I think what I remember most is playing saxophone. That's what I started doing when I was 8 or 9, I think. So that's what I remember as my first experience with
now, doing
something
get on
with
there?
Music.
What was it, through school, or did you just pick it, or private lessons?
Yeah.
What?
I did get the choice, and then I chose saxophone. I have no idea why. In retrospect, like
you're talking
maybe
about
because
at school. At school, they gave you a choice.
No. My same with Yannick. Like my parents were.
Oh, your parents. Okay.
Yeah, they were just like, okay, so. It's good to have a musical education.
Sure. I think that's fucking bitching, man. Both of you guys have some bitching parents. Much respect.
Yeah, definitely.
No, because
yeah.
Some people, man, you... I have on the show, they have to fight their parents to play. And they're here, you got the choice and stuff. So you pick saxophone. So what, were you like an alto, a little one?
Alto, yeah. Yeah, and at first, I struggled to get some sound out of it, of course, as a kid. But then, at some point, you're kind of get the volume to play it, and then it's kind of fun.
Right. Now, did you do any music in school?
Not really, just lessons, and then a performance with the group, with like all the students and those kind of things. Yeah,
like a recital.
Yeah. Well, also like for. The parents, you know, it's like
yeah,
it's
we call
showing
those,
what you've learned.
We call those recitals. Things recitals, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And they're kind of pants shooters, right? It's like getting in front of the class and having to give a speech or something. They can be scary. So, in a way, that was your
Definitely,
first gig,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Were you like Yannick, where you went to guitar?
Yeah, I went to guitar after that, yeah. But a funny fact that I had saxophone lesson with another kid from the small town where I grew up.
Yeah.
And I didn't see him for 15 years after that. And now I'm playing again in a band with him.
Wow.
And now he's playing bass and I'm playing guitar. So it's kind
wow.
of like
well, that shows
coming back together.
Right. don't burn bridges, right? Because you might
exactly, yeah.
use one to cross a river.
yeah.
Later on.
But in the end, we caught up again, yeah. But then I didn't play, after such fun, I didn't play anything for couple of years, and then kind of rediscovered my interest in playing music. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, first record you bought with your own money?
It's definitely not something good. I think it was like Backstreet Boys or something.
All right. And the first gig you saw?
First gig where I was really performing my own music.
No, not where you're performing your own music. First gig you saw. Like, for example,
first gig I saw.
For example, me and D. Boone, the first concert we saw was T-Rex.
T-Rex.
We were 14 years old in 1974. Yeah.
I think the first concert that I really chose to go to...
No, 1973, I'm sorry.
1973, yeah. That was actually a whole festival. That was Lowlands Festival.
Ah, I got to play that one with Stooges.
Nice, yeah.
In fact, I remember it totally... maybe 2008 or 7. I remember because we were doing a little dull and Ig knocked me over, but I kept playing.
I think we both were there.
Okay.
And me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think a friend of ours was on stage.
Oh, yeah, because Ig would have a stage invasion, right, for no fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real cool time. Look, you guys gave me some music here, at some Asbest Boys, so let me play it.
Cool.
Martijn, komt er ooit nog bij jou in het laadje geld?
I'm a fiend, that's why. I think I'm a fiend, Hey! Thank you.
Swat for Pedro show. That chunk of music started with the Asbest Boys. This is off of Marion and Yannick's label here. How do you pronounce your label?
Geertruida.
Yeah, I knew it. Half of it's in the throat, people. Dutch is a beautiful language that way. But the other thing is the double letters, because we fuck them all up in English.
Yeah, we have, like, the downside with the name is that the G is, like, kind of bad for people to pronounce, and the U is, like, something that...
Yeah, absolutely.
I think
why do you think,
only have
why
in
do
Dutch.
You think Vincent signed his name Vincent?
Yeah.
Because we fuck it up totally, right? But anyway.
Yeah.
So I'll let you guys pronounce your own label, but it's a great label. I love the music. Start off with Asbest Boys with Penis Boys. And then Dan McGuire and Steph DK out of Toledo, Ohio with Beer and Freedom. Brand new from Electro Capra. Huh? Capra, this is an Italian band, and Capra is goat, right? Electric goat. Huh? Crying Cock. And then from the island, this is, you guys are going to release this cassette. This is a tune off there called Auto Return. Me and Steve Howe. People, it ain't the Steve Howe from Yes. It's the Steve Howe from Canada, Montreal. Then Paranoid State. This is a Dutch band. I think maybe either Den Haag or Amsterdam.
Which one?
Paranoid
Sorry?
State.
I don't know where they're from.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, they come to my gigs and stuff. And they just made a new album. Gideon, bass man.
I'll
named
check
Gideon.
It out.
Yeah, and this tune called Emptiness from their new album. Bombas Prendon, D.C. area of the U.S. Cosmicius Stommel. They got trippy titles. Korean Town Acid with Untitled from a new compilation of very adventurous music. Northern Jaw from here in SoCal with Good Son, brand new record. Head Cut. I think that used to be Unlux. Singer man's got a new band. Ojos en la Luna, right? Eyes of the Moon. And then something from you guys, the Beardy Durst with Dead Poncho. And it's poncho people like the clothing you wear, like the kind of a cloak. So, Beardy Durst. No, let's talk about the label. How'd the label get started?
It actually is kind of a funny story because I live in this house, and the houses in the street here, they have all names. And this house is actually called Geertruida, so that's why we kind of had to take the name. But we started out...
You're saying that the pads have... they got addresses, of course, right? A number and a street name. But they also have a name themselves?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's kind like of old school. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen that much anymore, but... in this street...
It's kind of old-timey. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the house is like over 100 years old. So
great.
And probably named after the wife of the guy that designed it and built it.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
Yeah, and Geertruida is like an old-timey Dutch name. And like even in the U.S., I think Gertrude.
Gertrude. Yeah, Gertie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, I think, German more than it's Dutch, but it made its way to the U.S. as well. But
yeah,
I think
people move around. It's okay.
Yeah, but most people with the name are old.
Yeah.
But
understood.
So I used the house as a rehearsal place for my band. And at one point, there was this Swedish band that was touring through Europe, and they had like a couple of gigs that fell through, and they asked on Facebook, I think, if someone can give them any leads for shows. So I responded to that and said like, I can ask some music friends over here, but if that doesn't work, you can always play in my living room. And I hadn't really thought that out much, but they said like, let's do the living room. And then they were coming to my living room, and I had to figure out how to do a show in my living room.
And yeah, we got a scene like that over here. They call them house shows, right?
Yeah.
But exactly over here, that's not really a thing people do because we are living all so close together
town.
Yeah, like no one likes that in a city. So it was kind of interesting, and we actually did maybe over 50 shows or something in the living room that went kind of crazy sometimes with people crowd surfing and footprints on my ceiling and stuff like that. So, we did that for a while. And at some point, we got to know so many foreign bands, local bands, And we had our own bands that we thought like, yeah, it makes sense to kind of start a record label now. So sure. Then we did.
Sure, that makes great sense. Okay, so that's the roots, that's the foundation. And what was the first release?
It's an Icelandic artist called Berntsen, which is also kind of, well, the people who came to the house shows and to who knew us expected it, because it's kind of like the was always the after party music at the house shows. It's very dancey and like retro and catchy. But then yeah, it's like a pink record and full of electronic music, while people associated us a bit more with like obscure stuff. But in its own way, it's of course still an obscure record.
Now he played. You were using his music in between bands, but he also played the pad.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You know, I wasn't there, so you got to kind of enlighten me.
Yeah. It was remember. I'm trying to remember when it was. Or.
Yeah, it was. I think it was one of the later shows. Actually, like we haven't done a show for a long time now anymore. But I think he was the fourth to last or something. So yeah, it took a long time for him to actually play the show here.
And okay, so you were playing his music way before he made an appearance. We had to come from Reykjavik or something, right?
Yeah. I go to the festival in Iceland a lot, Iceland Airwaves, and that's where I saw a gig of his. And he had only CDs of his first album at that time, but I really wanted to move into buying vinyl more. So I was like, nah, I'm not going to buy the CD. I'll wait for the vinyl. And he was, I asked him, like, when will that come? And he was like, yeah, I'm working on it. And then the next year I was there, he still didn't have it. And I said, like, well, what if we release it?
Yeah.
So we did.
Okay, so you helped him out. Yeah. Now, usually the bands that are on the label, they just bring you the music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't have a studio. They come and record it, and they give you all the artwork, all the stuff, and you kind of an autonomous thing, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's more like that nowadays.
I don't know. It's unfortunate because at least the artist is in control of their stuff, right? So it's not, bad thing. It's not totally a bad thing. You know, there was a time when the bands were hardly ever involved with their own music. You think about those 60s bands? Oh, my. They told what the dudes what to wear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bunch of shit. Tell me
which
about this beardy.
Convenient.
What's this beardy durse? What's a beardy durse?
Are you asking who they are?
Because I don't know, you know.
Well, this is kind of like the whole beginning of our label was kind of just by coincidences. And these,
that's all right.
So at one point, through another musician / instrument builder from the Netherlands called Yuri Landman, who like designed instruments for Sonic Youth and other bands around the world, he did a workshop in the Netherlands, and then we knew him from, I don't know how we kind of met him, but we just also were connected to him. And he did a workshop, and two guys from Copenhagen did the workshop, but they used all their money to do the workshop and didn't have any money left to like pay for accommodation.
Okay.
So then he emailed us, like, do you want to host them? And we were like, sure, fine, if you say they're cool people, of course they can come. And then they stayed for like, they were supposed to stay one or two nights, but they stayed for a full week because we just started like making music, and they also just started a record label, so we were discussing plans about like what they were doing with their label. So it was just like
I think we call it synergy, like, right? Synergy. You bring different things together. Yeah, it's a bitching thing. It's beautiful.
So look, then the thing that we decided to do like a...
Yannick, we got to continue because we got to the end of the first hour of the January 2022 edition, the Watt for Pedro Show. Special guests, Yannick and Marion. Hold tight for hour two. January 20, 2022. It's second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show. We'll be right back.
feel it. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy if I had one. Such oppositions are fearful to contemplate. A beast that bears its fangs, a werewolf. An inadequate metaphor. Aching, a burning, barely controllable. I wouldn't expect you to understand. An aching, a burning, barely controllable. I wouldn't expect you to understand or to sympathize. Or to recognize in yourself.
Swap for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Treasure of Grundo. Idzalence Dofer. Excuse me for ruining your language. I'm sorry.
it's no language at all, so there's like no way to pronounce it really.
Okay. Then we had Juan Silver, a great musician out of Denton, Texas, and this big old piece he made called Mobius Trip. This is part one, live at the Texas Theater. And then we had Hack Pizzicato. This is out of Berlin from their new album, The Silver Threshold. Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Ache. And then Treasure of Grundo again with Says Ye Here? Maybe.
You say it, Yannick.
Maybe it's another.
Yeah, I say Says Ye Here.
Okay, Says Ye Here. Kind of French sounding, but not really. Okay. Tip us to first let's finish that story with the Beardy Durfs.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know where
the guys are conking at your house, and then you guys start jamming, and they got a label, you got a label, a synergy.
Then we decided on doing a split 10-inch record with two bands from Copenhagen and two of our bands. So the song you just played with the... not the song you just played, but one of Treasure of Grundo.
Dead Poetry.
And one of... Yeah, and no, that's the Beardy Durfs.
Yeah.
So on the one side, we did the two bands from Copenhagen, and on the other side, two bands from Haarlem, which were our own bands.
Right.
And then we kind of like jokingly named it Copa Haarlem, and we kind of stuck with that. So it's called Copa Haarlem.
You know what? We didn't talk about Asbest Boys, too. Where are they from?
They're actually from Haarlem as well.
Okay, Haarlem guys. Good.
And
and Boy Akira?
Actually,
what about Boy Akira?
They are from Leeuwarden.
Ah, and that's a special part of Holland, right? They got their own language.
Yeah.
And I remember a band
Little named, Flag with the Hearts.
Yeah, there was a band, same name as Pick, right? Lull. In the old days.
Right. Yeah, I know them.
Which in English is like cock or, you know, dick.
It's Dokkumer Lokaaltje, you mean, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah, I know them, yeah.
Okay. Why's not totally retarded? I do retain some stuff. Okay, now, when did Treasure of Grundo come together?
I had that since, I guess since I was 18 or something, and I bought my first synthesizer, then it maybe was not yet called Treasure of Grundo, but very quickly I found that name on IMDb at the name of the
movie
series.
Movie database, people. It's a good place, good resource, IMDb.com.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's the name of a film or something?
No, it was actually the first episode of this children's cartoon called Teddy Ruxpin. I think you had it in the U.S. as well, right?
I don't know. Last time I watched children's television was Gumby, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the little green guy made out of clay? That's how far Watt goes back, okay?
I think this was, it was like beginning of the 80s. Like, it was also kind of before my time a little bit.
I was a Minuteman in the 80s. Fuck, I was playing the Paradiso when it was painted black. It was February. It was freezing. And some Nazis tried to run us off stage, but we didn't run. They ran the first band off. They were a small group of assholes. Look, here's the what do you call it? The collaboration between those foreign kids and Treasure Grundo. It's called HD Sports Channel and Alfine. That's a title.
Oh,
Years ago. That chunk of music had started off with Those Foreign Kids and Treasure Gundo. So Those Foreign Kids, that's your band, Marion, right? And then Treasure of Gundo is Yannick's band. And this that tune was HD Sports Channel and Alf. Fine. So another, not movies, but kind of television connector. And then we had, what is this fucking title? Enter Gray Matter Time Captus Infestation for Higher Consciousness Spine Tone Plea Tones from Rubber O Cement. That's out of Bay Area. Organs after that from Ireland with the C with no color. Can tell because they put a U there, right? Our color don't have a U. And then, which is okay. Fuck. it's called English. Himmelschiff Excelsior with Sick Bay Clasp Part 2. So I know a little bit about Foreign Kids and Treasure of Grendel. Hit me to Himmelschiff Excelsior.
Well, that's the two guys who stayed at the house.
The Copenhagen cats. Okay.
Yep, it's them. Yeah, and they also they played in another band at that point, but this was like their noise project, and we thought it was great. So we said okay, let's put it on the record. Yeah.
That's bitching. Because music's music in my book. It took me a long time to find that out, but fuck it. You know, I forgot to ask you about Boy Akira.
Yeah, they're like a side project of a band called Abdomen we didn't send you that, but that's more straightforward, loud rock bands, a little bit in the style of Metz.
Yeah.
And Boy Akira is their kind of like weird side project for that. That's more maybe, art, rock, or something crazy. Like, I'm never really good with genres and descriptions, but I guess something like that. Just a bit weirder.
Yeah, man, I can't wait till genre shit is dead.
No.
I just really don't like that idea. Yeah, it's Gulag and Berlin Wall and all that crap. Man, we don't need it.
Yeah.
I think it's from the days of record labels. They wanted some kind of shortcut on marketing their bullshit. That's just my guess.
Yeah.
So, what do you look for, Marion and Yannick, when you're looking at a release for your label? Like, is it just coincidences? Like, it seems like a lot of these projects that we've listened to, they just happen because they happen because of the situation, right?
I think that's still the situation. Sometimes you make connections with people, and then, you know, you find out they're making music, and then you ask them at a moment, like, can you send me some of your stuff? And then you find out it's really good, and then you want to release it. So that's kind of like a part of the scene. And another part is what Yannick did in, he went to, you can tell it yourself too. He went to Kiev and discovered and made some.
You're talking Ukraine.
Yeah. I wanted to, I never really liked New Year's Eve, so I tried to go to weird places when that was happening. And I was thinking, like, maybe I can do New Year's Eve in Chernobyl. Thought that was kind of a maybe funny thing to do, which is not possible. But I eventually did New Year's Eve in Kiev, and I was there with a friend. And, like, the one thing I always know is that if you're in a strange city, if you find music-related stuff, you can usually find like-minded people there.
Absolutely.
That's, like, for me, such a shortcut to finding cool people.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
And, of course, it was a bit harder over there because I don't really, know anything about Russian or Ukrainian, and I don't have any Cyrillic options on my keyboard of, my phone and stuff. But when I installed all that and figured some stuff out, I started finding some cool places and gigs, but everything was, hard to find there. It was, eventually we ended up in some old industrial office building or something, and there was like a noise gig happening. And we were just there drinking, and my friend had a Sun t-shirt on, and like some guy started talking to him like, that's a fucking awesome band, and blah blah, and then we ended up hanging out with those guys for the next week, and they had bands, and eventually released those bands as well.
happening. But you know, that's the whole thing about clubs, you know. Remember I was telling you T-Rex, our first gig we saw? That's arena rock shit. You don't talk to anybody. It's terrible, right? But there's something about being places where you can rap with people, and music is the common ground. It's culture, right? I dig it. I did not even know it even existed as a teenager. I didn't know about that stuff till the punk movement. Because I'm 13 in 1970, so my whole teenage years is the fucking 70s, which is arena rock.
That's a lot to discover, yeah.
Well, you know, it ended up being also, the manure. You know, a farmer, if you want a good crop, right, you use a lot of manure. Well, that was the fucking manure. Okay.
That's the foundation, yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour. We'll have to pick this up next hour because we're at the end. January 20, 2022 edition of Wap Pedro. So hold tight for hour three. January 20, 2022. It's the third hour of the Wap Pedro show. Show started the third hour off with Strychno and Treasure, and this is in Greek, but we got translated over. And then DJ Flugelvel Ogeimskip with Let's Go, and finally Kui with My Niece. Now, is this the Kui from the U.S.?
Yep, yes,
because there's a 7-inch on Org Music with Mike Watt on in the second man on the other side.
On that.
What's it called? A split 7-inch? Split 7-inch, that's what it is.
Yeah.
How'd you meet the Kui guys?
I think we set up a show for them, and then they stayed over at the house where Yannick lives, the Gedrada house.
Okay.
And they kind of enjoyed staying there and seeing what we were doing. So then the plan was made to discuss a release, and in the end it turned out to be this 10-inch that we released with them.
You know, there was a early version of Kui that had David Yao singing.
Yeah, we were impressed by that a lot too. Yeah.
Well, I got to 2 years ago help Flipper with bass on a Europe tour, and David Yao was the singer.
Oh.
Big fan of that.
Yeah, he still did the artwork of the 10-inch of Kui.
Oh, he did.
So okay. There was it's kind of like a strange, fleshy unicorn peeing on a baby.
Ooh.
So, okay. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Had an odor to it. I've seen some artwork by David. He had exhibited something downtown L.A. once for some kind of benefit. Tell me about Strychno.
That was actually a demo. Wait, was it a demo that we got sent? Or maybe it was a band that I just found. Like, I do these deep dives on Bandcamp every now and then, and sure, through YouTube playlists and videos.
Bandcamp, great. The best place for music for independent people on the internet, I think.
Yeah, I think Strychno was actually a band that I found myself and then asked, like, hey, do you want to release something? And they were really DIY and self-published, and they still agreed to do some cassettes so we can just promote it, put it in our cassette club, and
and searched them out. Okay.
I don't completely remember, I did find them, but with so many bands,
improvisation music, like who goes first, right? Let me ask you about the island. How did you find out about the island?
Well, Steve actually sent us a package of multiple things in the mail out of nowhere. Like, I don't know how he found us. Actually, never really asked him. But because he's enigma is maybe a big word for it, but there's not a lot of information, and I think I actually like that, so I'll keep it that way. But he just sent us like some stuff in the mail, and we listened to it and thought like, yeah, this is kind of cool. So let's do something with it. We're in for like difficult music, so let's go.
Yeah. Now, you know I'm playing the bass there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you know that was Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
That was the interesting part for us, too.
I met him just like you, same way you guys. He's very mysterious. I don't know much about him. I met him once. He came to a gig I was doing, and I said hi to him and stuff, but didn't even get a long spiel with him. So, but you know what? Music is a kind of a language in, unto itself. So that's how me and Steve. I mean,
but this is a great story, too.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was talking to you, but I think it's a great story too. Like that, it's not like the standard, like getting an email with a biography that tells how great the band is, and then a link to the new record and a press photo that looks like all the other press photos. This is like something completely different.
Yeah.
And that's
well, that's that what that's like, what I felt. Why I got involved with him too. The way he approached me, you know, it's why not. And you know, in the internet, it can be used for more than just spreading lies and hate. You can actually collaborate with some cat you don't even know. I made the whole album with him before I ever met him, you know. And he would just send me these things. He'd play guitar and sing these songs. And I would try to come up. I was teaching myself how to record, you know, with the Pro Tool thing and all that, home record. Now I do it almost every day I record some. But I got to give Steve Howe some credit for getting me going. Just to do the collab with him.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. That's like the coincidence. But also, like, we at first we were like, is this for real? Like, is this not like something made up? But then, you know, you start the conversation and you find out there's like just a real person and a real story. And also the way he approached, like, it's not commercial at all. And that's also something that's great to find in this musical landscape.
Yeah, there's too much merch. It's, you know, drowning in it.
Yeah,
but, look,
exactly.
Let's play this is a big jam you gave me, right? Death Will Occur. Thank you.
daily basis. Follow me. You know what I mean? Sex or homo? We should have some
Swat from Pedro Show, last music for this edition. We had Foam, Rollins, Stobbits. Mary Stobbits was on the show with Outside Vic's Number One. They gave me three tunes I'm going to play for the next three editions. And then last music, very last tune, big-ass jam, Death Will Occur. And get this title, people, The Dew in the Morning, The Rain in the Afternoon, and The Campfire at Night. Okay, enlighten us to this here.
Your turn, Andy.
Yeah.
Sorry. The jam. This was, I think I was like maybe 19, and like at a friend that actually the friend I went to Kiev with, he was living in this shitty room above a Chinese restaurant. And we just came together with two guys I'd never seen before, I think, at that point. And we started playing a jam. And, like, usually with jams, or at least I have that when you're playing them, it's nice. When you listen them back, you're like, yeah, okay, it has good parts. But then you kind of have to make it into a song, which you, in a lot of cases, never do. And then it just... goes in your hind view mirror and you never think about it again. But with this jam, I think it actually is good, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's shit. Could also be the case because, yeah, I'm not like an objective person in this. But I thought, like, why not put it out and see?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We call that balls.
Yeah.
So, next plan for the gig, for the label, I'm sorry.
Do we have any, like, well, releasing new stuff, of course.
Well, we've been postponing a thing because of, the current, we still are in a lockdown here
situation,
in the
situation, and especially with the vinyl, I know there's big backlogs, that's why cassettes also are actually that. Easier but to put out now.
We wanted to celebrate our 100 release, which was somewhere last year, and we, wanted to do something special, like, we're in the process of brewing together with a brewery in Harlem, like a special beer, and then combining it with a like some music, a playlist or something.
Wow.
So hopefully we can do that this year.
Okay,
and
okay.
Celebrate it somewhere, yeah.
And you were in the, Yannick, you were in the Ukraine, so pivo, right? That's how they call beer.
Pivo.
You know what we should do? We should tell the listeners the URL for your label. Please spell it.
Yannick, you can do it.
Okay. So, yeah, it's Geertruida.net because, .com was taken. But Geertruida is Geertruida.net.
Okay. Yeah. Lots of good stuff there, people. I went there, spent a lot of time, man, bitching things. And you got practice coming up, right, Marion? Is this those foreign kids?
No, it's another band called Fix Everything.
Fix Everything. That's a great name. That's some wishful thinking.
Yeah.
So is there Fix Everything? Is this going to have a release on the label?
Yeah, we just released the album in December.
Ah, great.
I'll send you a link.
And Yannick, what do you got? Tracker. Do you still got your Treasure Grundo going?
I'm still working on an EP of older songs. I'm also working on an album of a band that is kind of similar, and everyone kind of left that band, so now I guess it's also Treasure Grundo, so I might work those songs into it as well.
Sure.
And I'm working on a shoegaze kind of project with two former Treasure Grundo members, and it might also still be Treasure Grundo, or maybe we'll figure, think of a new band name. I'm not really sure.
I'd rather have you go for a band name than a fucking genre name.
Yeah.
But look, both you guys, when you get new music for the label or your own bands, please bring it and come back on the show.
Of course, it'd
be great.
Yeah.
My big invite, because I love having you on. I love what you're doing. Please keep on keeping on.
Bebo. Yeah, the Island is out next week, by the way.
Okay,
so,
Bebo. Island comes out next week, 1 week. It's 3+2, the name of the cassette, right? Okay.
Yep.
It's been the January 2022 2022 just a lot for Pedro, so keep your powder dry.